Amen. All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, church. Amen. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. For all of us joining us in person, we love to see you. For all of us joining us on live, welcome to our friends and family that are joining us through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is our pastor. Let's give it up for our pastor. Amen. Amen. All right. So if you could please stand, we will have our prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for just who you are, oh God. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. Father God, you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you are there, God. And we thank you, Lord. Father God, because we know that in your presence there is healing, God. In your presence there is joy, God. In your presence there is peace, oh God. And Father God, we thank you because you thought it not robbery to come and be with us. Father, we thank you for walking with us. We thank you for talking with us. God, we thank you for never leaving us. You said that you would never leave us nor forsake us, oh God. And Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for how you've always, 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 oh God, you've been a good God, God. Even when we don't deserve it, oh God. Father God, you're good to us, oh God. You're good to us, God. You're good to us, oh God. We thank you for your grace, oh Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, oh God. Father God, your mercy that surpasses all, God, Lord. But Lord God, we know, oh God, that, Lord, while we don't deserve it, Lord God, you loved us, God. Lord, you love us, oh God. You love us better than we could love ourselves, oh God. And so, Lord God, we ask that you will continue to live in us, God. We ask that you allow us to show your love to others, oh God, to show your grace to others, oh God. Father God, we ask that forgiveness lives in our heart, Lord God, because, Lord, you forgive us every single day, Lord God, every single day, Lord God. And Father God, we ask that you would give us the strength to do the same, Lord God. Father God, we welcome your presence, oh God. We welcome your presence in this place. Anything that's not like you, Lord God, we ask that you remove it, oh God. Father God, you will remove, Lord, break shackles today, oh God. We ask that you would loose, God, loose bondages, oh God. Father God, we ask that you would be with our speaker on today, oh God. Lord God, we know that you've prepared a word for us, oh God, and we thank you, Lord. We ask that you would bless her. We ask that you would keep her, oh God, and give us a word that only you can provide, oh God. Let us hear what we need to hear, Lord God, and we thank you. And we thank you, and we thank you, and we bless your name, oh God. We bless your name, Lord God. We thank you, oh God. We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised, oh God. You're worthy to be praised, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God. And we thank you, oh God. We thank you, we thank you, and we thank you, Lord God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Now we're going to read our scripture for today. We are coming from Psalms 100, chapter 5. Wait. No, Psalms 100, verse 5. And I will be reading in your hearing. Psalms 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generation. Amen. That's a word. That's a word in and of itself. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. So today we're going to have a little congregational song today. Let me see. I feel like my dad. I want to throw it back a little bit. And so help me if y'all know. I know y'all know. Live and he loved me, died and he saved me. Barity carried my sins far away.
All right, Bart, lift your mic.
Okay. All right. Live in me, love me. Die in me, save me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified and freed me forever. One day he's coming back, a glorious day. Live in me, love me. Died in me, saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified and freed me forever. One day he's coming back, a glorious day. Living, he loved me. Died in me, saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified and freed me forever. One day he's coming back, a glorious day.
One more time.
Living, he loved me. Died and he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified and freed me forever. One day he's coming back, a glorious day.
What about this?
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
How can I forget? How can I forget
what you've done for me? How can I forget how you set me free? How can I forget how you brought me out? How can I forget? No, never.
Last time.
Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
Thank y'all. Amen. Amen. All right. Now what we have all been waiting for. She requires no introduction. Our very own Reverend Barbara Williams will come and bring us the word today. Repeat after me. God bless.
God bless.
Reverend Barb.
God bless.
God bless. Reverend Barb. Amen. 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 Bless his holy name. Hey, we're going to turn to the Old Testament real quickly. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah 29:11, a familiar verse. If you have it, say amen. If you need a minute, say wait a minute. Amen, amen. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's out of the New King James Version. And if you allow me just for half a second, I'm going to give you the Message Bible. I always like that version as well because it speaks in plain everyday English. Verse 11 in the Message Bible, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his precious and holy word. Most holy and wise Father, we thank you for this time that we have to spend with you, Lord. Time to delve into your word, Lord. Time to hear from you, Lord. Lord, empty out this vessel of clay. Use these lips, Lord, to magnify your name. Help these words, Lord, to free someone, to lift someone, to guide someone, Lord, in this life's journey. We thank you this morning, Lord, for this time. We thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you for our time of fellowship, Lord. We ask you to guide us. Lord, we ask you to send your presence in the midst of this place, Lord. We bless and praise your holy and righteous name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated in the Lord's presence. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. I came to tell you today that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter what the enemy has whispered in your ear, God is still in control. When you woke up this morning, heaven was not in crisis, despite what's going on in this world. The throne of God was not shaken by anything that has transpired. Your struggles did not rewrite God's destiny for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're going to go through, God is still in control. That ought to be a praise moment for somebody. That ought to be it shouldn't be a person in their seat right now. I'm glad he's in control. Because if I was in control, it might be a messed up place. But I know God has a plan for me. He's not guessing. He's not saying maybe. He said, I have a declaration, a plan for you. Somebody say he has a plan for my life. When Jeremiah spoke these words, Israel was in captivity in Babylon. They were in a foreign land in an unfamiliar place, struggling with uncertainty. Maybe someone here today finds themselves in that position. Maybe someone is struggling. Maybe someone feels stuck, feels like they don't exist. But I want to tell you that right now, you're not going to stay where you are. God's plan for you is always in motion. And let me tell you that because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. Don't give up. God's plan for you is not to just survive, not to just get by. He has a plan to prosper you. Prosper means doesn't necessarily mean money or houses. It means peace. It means joy. It means purpose. It means walking in divine favor. He has plans to give you a hope and a future. A future is secure in God's hands. My future, your future, our children's future, this world's future is secure in God's hands. You don't have to fear. You don't have to worry. God is a God for everyone. He's not a God for black. He's not a God for white. He doesn't care about that. He loves the junkie. He loves the beggar man. He loves the fireman. He loves the nurse. He loves the doctor. He loves the lawyer. Your station in life. God loves you and he has a plan for you. Nothing you face today is bigger than God. I don't care what your situation looks like. I know it might seem hopeless. You might not know where your next meal is coming from. I don't know what the obstacle is for you right now, but God has a plan for you. Your struggles are not the final chapter of your story. Most people think, they come against something and all of a sudden they're overwhelmed, they're disappointed, and they give up. It's unbearable. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. God's plan, he didn't write his plan in pencil for your life. You can't erase it. Your mistakes don't change what he has planned for you. God's not a reactionary God. Because he's displeased with something you do, he doesn't stop loving you. And his plan for your life does not change. His plan is firm, it's unshakable, and it's unstoppable. Too often we magnify the problem instead of magnifying our God. We focus on what's wrong instead of focusing on the one who's right. We allow temporary struggles to shake our faith, to shake our foundation, to allow us to back up. God's not in heaven pacing back and forth wondering what he's going to do for you. He already had the solution. He already made the provision. He already has the breakthrough all lined up before time began. Before you needed this solution, God already knew. None of it took him by surprise. Our problem is we always want to know what the plan is. We want to see the plan. Sometimes all we tend to look at is the pain. We look at the struggle, the closed door, the rejection, the betrayal. Just because you don't see the plan does not mean the plan is not in motion. God does his strongest work behind the scenes. We want an extravagant light show. We want it all out. But God speaks in the small, still voice on the quiet breeze. The moment you feel like nothing is happening, and often those moments he is preparing for something even greater in your life. Our journey usually doesn't look like what the finish line is. Our detours, our setbacks, our betrayals are all part of a divine setup. God is using obstacles in our life to prepare our destiny. The job loss is not the end. The heartbreak is not the end. Sometimes you'd be glad about the heartbreak, but the disappointment is not the end. It's a simple step in the process. Just because it's a difficult season doesn't mean God's plan has failed. Just because that door didn't open doesn't mean God has canceled his promise for your life. God is a strategic God. He is an intentional God. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows exactly how to get you where you need to be. But here's what most of us struggle with. We don't understand everything. We can't see the whole picture. We want God to lay it all out before us before we'll step out on faith with that plan. The truth is, he don't need you. He don't need you. He needs your faith. And if he laid it all out before you, then where's your faith? Where's your trust? How do you build that relationship with God? Even when you don't understand, we walk by faith, not by sight. He called us to believe even when the path doesn't make sense. The truth is we can't see and couldn't understand everything God was doing, even if he laid it out before us. Oftentimes, we wouldn't agree with it. No, Lord, I don't want to go right. I want to go left. No, God, I don't want this job. I want that job. But every setback is a setup. The enemy works hard to make us focus on our problems because he knows if he can discourage us, if he can cause us to get stuck, if he can cause us not to look up, instead we look down, we settle in a place. God never meant us to stay. We need to understand our current situation is not our final destination. The enemy does not write the last chapter. In fact, the final chapter is already written for the enemy. He can't affect your chapter because his is already written. The same God that brought Joseph from the prison to the palace is the same God that delivered Daniel from the lion's den. He's the same God that turned crucifixion into resurrection. That same God is still working today, and his plans have not changed, and you have not changed his mind about you. He said, heaven and earth will pass away before my word. He didn't say, well, tomorrow I might change my mind. He didn't say, well, if you think I should go for it, I'm going to change my mind. These are the moments in life that get us stuck because we want to focus on what we want to do and not stand on faith and look up, not trust in God. Delay is not a denial. Because it takes time doesn't mean it's a no. It feels like that. Oftentimes it does. You want it right now. It should happen right now. What we don't realize is God has to prepare us. God's timing is perfect. His ways are higher than our ways. Think about Abraham. He promised Abraham he'd be the father of many nations. And I wonder, year after year, no child was produced. Sarah became too old to have a child. You think maybe Abraham thought, maybe I misunderstood him. Oh, my time is past. And then we bring Sarah into the scope, and Sarah took matters into her own hands because it wasn't moving fast enough. It wasn't moving in her time. Abraham, go into my servant, have a child with her. That'll give you the seed you need. What pain, what devastation, what chaos and havoc wreaked from Sarah taking matters into her own hands. And if you follow history, much of what's going on in the Middle East is because of that mistake. God doesn't just prepare blessings for you. He has to prepare you for the blessing. He needs to develop you before he can release what he has for you. You know, a statistic I found interesting, most, lottery millionaire winners that win millions and millions of dollars. You think, wow, they're set up for life. And they say they're both broken like 5 years. Because you're not used to that kind of money. You start buying a house, a car, the boat, but you don't realize the taxes, the upkeep of all. That $1 million mansion takes a lot to upkeep. And if you don't have any money coming in, it's going out fast. It's going out really fast. Waiting is not a waste. It's not a punishment. It's just a delay. It's part of the process. Look at Moses. Moses was born during the time when the assignment was to kill all Hebrew boys. He went through his life in the palace. He was exiled into the desert. For 40 years, he tended sheep in the desert. Maybe he was wondering, well, why am I here? I was a prince in Egypt. Why? Look what my life has turned out to be. But not so. Those 40 years set him up to lead a nation through that same desert he roamed for 40 years. That's how God works. If you're waiting, you're waiting for a reason. God is equipping you. God is working behind the scenes. God is never late. He's never early, but he's always right on time. He moves in the fullness of time, and his disappointments, at his appointed time, he moves. God is open at all times. Look at Sarah again. She took matters into her own hands. I got ahead of myself. Because whenever you rush the process, you risk birthing something God never intended. Trust that what happens, God is at work. Because when the right time comes, when the moment God has ordained arrives, no matter if it was years or a day, it comes to you. And it's all in his plan, right on time. Don't despise the waiting season. The waiting season is setting you up for your future. There are moments in your life when you feel like your surroundings and limitations and hardships and struggles in your life are the reason things aren't going right. Some of us were born into poverty. Some of us were born and live in environments with violence all around us. Some of us were born into broken homes. Some of us doubted our potentials or were told our entire life that we wouldn't have potential. How many lives have been destroyed because teachers and counselors and people and parents told children, you're never going to be anything? That's a setup of the enemy. Your surroundings don't determine your destiny. God's plan for your life is not dictated by outside forces. I know God has a plan for you. What about Daniel? Daniel left his homeland in Babylon. Daniel left his homeland, wound up in Babylon in exile. And there Daniel rose to power. The others within this area, they were jealous of his power, so they set up a trap for him. But Daniel didn't waver in his faith. He didn't waver in his conviction. He didn't waver in his belief in God. He continued to worship his God and not the God of Babylon. They threw Daniel into the lion's den for his devotion to his God. The Lord sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lion. That was all part of God's plan for Daniel. When Daniel came out of the lion's den, he was exalted even higher above the people who tried to destroy him. And instead, their lives were forfeited, and those of their families and their children, all because they tried to set a trap. I'm sorry, can I have some water? Thanks. Look at Jesus, born in a manger, not in a palace, not in luxury, not with prestige and wealth. He was surrounded by limitations. How often in the scripture did we see them say that, how could this come from a Nazarite? How often did they say, how could something good come from Nazarene? We hear the same thing today in different parts of the city, different parts of the country, different parts of the world. How do we believe that our poverty, how do we believe that a child born in poverty and his surroundings define where he's going? The place where he started does not dictate where he's going. They believe that they've been placed in difficult situations and that they'll never get out, that they have to settle for where they are, for where they were born, for the dysfunction in their families and the dysfunction in their lives. Can I tell you something? God did not call you to settle. Those are places you're just passing through. Poverty is not where you're meant to be. He has a plan for you. Your environment does not define you. Your struggle does not define you. That abusive family does not define you. God has a plan for you. His favor over your life, nothing can break that. It doesn't matter. You will rise anyway. And that's why you have to change your perspective. You ever get up in the morning and think, this is going to be a rough day? And sure enough, it's a rough day. But you get up in the morning and think, oh, glory to God. Thank you. It's going to be a good day. And by the end of the day, it's been okay. Your perspective can change your walk in a moment. If you walk with a downtrodden heart, if you walk in defeat, you'll receive defeat. If you walk in victory, you'll receive victory. Stop believing the lies. Stop believing that where you come from is all you'll ever be. Joseph got out of the pit. Moses got out of Egypt. Daniel got out of the lion's den, and Jesus got out of the grave. The same God that brought them out of these situations at that time will bring you out of your situation. God has an ordained time in your life. Expectation is everything. How you wake up in the morning, how you walk through your day, how you deal with people, how you accept things in your life. But God says, I might have a plan for you. That's not what he said. He said, I have a plan for you, a blessed assurance, a certain guarantee. That means you don't have to fear. You don't have to wonder, because God has it all in control. You don't have to second guess your future, because God has it all in control. You live in expectancy. A pregnant woman, she's expecting. She's looking forward to having a baby, but she doesn't wait till the baby is born. She prepares for the baby. She starts getting her nursery together. She starts purchasing her clothes and the bassinet and all those things, the car seat, because she walks in faith that in the end of this journey, she's going to get something. The same thing with us. We walk this journey with expectancy that God has something better for us in our lives. We start thinking, this is the kind of faith we need to have. We need to prepare and get ready for our breakthrough. We don't need to sit back and just say, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. This is all I'm going to get. No, God has something better for you. God has a plan. Start thanking him in advance for whatever it is. Don't just sit there and say, oh, this is it. This is it. No, get up in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to provide. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. He's not a man that he should lie. He has a plan for you to prosper. He has a plan for you to have a future and a hope. God has it all in control. He didn't say maybe. Maybe something will happen. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. 12 long years. She spent every dollar she had on remedies and doctors and whatever. She took a chance. She had an expectation. If I could touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She didn't say, well, maybe it'll work. She didn't say, I hope something will happen. She said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed. She pressed her way through the crowd with expectancy. She set herself apart because when she touched him, her faith was so strong, he felt the power go out of him. She started her journey of expectation, pressing her way through the crowd. Start praising like you've already got the answer. Stop speaking like the door is closed, but speaking like the door is open. God will meet you at that level of faith. If you keep saying, I'm not going to get it, I'm not going to get it, you're not trusting him. You're not believing in him. But if you raise your expectation, if you lift your faith, if you lift your head, if you lift your praise, God is there. He's standing and waiting for you. God is not a distant God. He wants to lead you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to give you direction. He's not silent. You have to talk to him for him to talk to you. You have to read his word because that's how he talks to us. His word will not pass away. His word still stands today. His word is still food for today. A lot of people think the Bible is old, fogey. I don't want to read that. That's back in the day. His word is still bread for his children today. Too many people want direction without devotion, answers without seeking. They want clarity without committing to God. They want the reward of a relationship without working on the relationship. Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Not a half-hearted heart, not a half-hearted prayer, not a half-hearted praise, not one, you know, where you're curled up in bed and Sister Cindy and I, or Minister Cindy and I have a running joke sometimes and we'll say, oh girl, I'm praying for you. Wait, but I'm in bed. My knees are curled up against me, but I'm still praying. That's a half-hearted praise. That's a half-hearted prayer. And that's our running joke. That's our running joke. But it still means she's praying for me nonetheless. But when we go to God, we need to go to God in fervent prayer, giving him our whole heart, giving him our whole self, giving him every part of us, every fiber of our being, seeking him, reaching for him. Prayer, fasting, all of those things bring us closer into a relationship with God. When Moses led the children of Israel into the desert, Moses said in 33:15, if your presence does not go with us, then don't send us. If God is not leading you, don't go. Cause you're probably going to make a mess of it. You want his presence to go before everything you do. I know it sounds really silly, but it's very true. He told you pray about everything. He didn't say the important things. He didn't say only the life-changing things. He said everything. And I think I told you a story a while ago about my mother-in-law and I. And she called me when Matriarch was still alive and still pastor of the church, actually, because they were friends. And she had lost some keys. And I want Lucille's number so I can call her. I need her to tell me how to pray for this set of keys. And I'm like, I'm not giving you her number for you to call this woman 6 o'clock in the morning. Cause she called me 6 o'clock in the morning about these keys. I'm not doing that. Oh, I know her. You can give me, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. Fast forward a couple years. I had lost keys to a brand new car. And you know, now those keys are expensive if you lose them, you know, $200-$400. And I had lost it. My husband actually had lost a set of keys. I'm putting you in it too, sweetheart. my husband had actually lost the set of keys, and unfortunately, we were pretty certain that the keys were outside of the house. And they were our house keys, our car keys, all the pertinent keys to our life. And I'm sitting in the truck, and I'm getting ready to go to the dealership to get the keys changed. And I sat there at that moment, and I said, Lord, if you could just help me find those keys. And the light bulb went on for me. I was fussing at her, but I was praying for the same thing. Lord, help me find those keys. Fast forward to the end of the story. As I was sitting there, a man came around the corner, and he saw the car was running, and he said, wait a minute, stop that lady, stop that lady. My husband was sitting on the steps with his friends because they were about to change the locks on the house because we didn't know where the keys were. He walks up and he hands me the keys. He said, I found these on the steps, and it was sitting next to his car, so I assume they're yours. He answers every prayer. He saved us several hundred, if not $1,000 that day. He answers each and every prayer, and we go to him about everything. God is not an emergency hotline like we like to make him. We need to have daily prayer with him. He should be our source. We should be connected. We should be plugged into him. He's not a God of crisis. He's a God of every single moment. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek him first. Seek him in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Look at Jesus' story. Even Jesus, when he was in the fleshly body here on earth, Jesus sought the Father's direction in everything. It often told you that he went off into a quiet place, and he prayed to the Father. He didn't make a step. He didn't choose a disciple. He didn't make a move. He didn't go on a journey until he talked to the Father first. Amen. And that's how we need to live our lives. Your end is greater than your beginning. Yep, you may be struggling right now. You may be in pain right now. You may be feeling uncertainty and the weight of a heavy heart. But don't give up. It won't last forever. You're in the middle of your storm, and everything around you feels like it's shaking. Nothing is going as you plan. You plan to be way down the road at this point in your life, but that's not God's plan for you. God, who is the finisher, he's going to finish what he started with you and in you. God's going to carry you through the storm. He is a God who carries you through the storm. He's the God that can turn mourning into dancing. He is the God who says, what is not meant for harm, I use it for good. Beginnings can be messy. They're full of uncertainty, full of struggle, full of moments that we just don't know what to do. We're surrounded on all sides. You're not buried. You're just planted. Look at a seed. We put a seed in the ground, and it looks like nothing, but the warm earth nurtures it. It develops it. It changes it. Underneath, it's growing. The root system is applying. It's not buried. It's planted. And we see the progress as it begins to grow, as it begins to surface. That job loss, whatever it is. Job lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his family. He gave up everything. His wife told him to curse God and die. His friends left him and separated from him. In the middle of his suffering, I know God, Job was in pain and he was confused. He had lost everything, but he didn't know what else to do. But he kept his eyes on God. He never lost faith. And his latter days, and the story ends, Job was restored and he got double of what he had. And he was a wealthy man when this all started. Can you imagine double? Double for your trouble? The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 7:8, the end of the matter is better than the beginning. That means you can't judge your life right now by what you see. You can't think that this is all there is in your life. God has a better plan for you. You may be fighting the battle of your life right now. Maybe cancer, maybe job loss, maybe just the economy. We're all struggling with the economy right now. God has it all in control. He doesn't care who sits in the White House. Believe it or not, he put him there anyway. He put him there for a time such as this. He put him there to draw us closer to him, for us to trust him and to walk by faith. God is still in control. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing. If something this morning touched your heart, we open the doors of the church for you. If someone here would like prayer, if they're going through a struggling time, if they're going through something difficult, we call our deacons to the altar for prayer. If you'd like to join this band of believers, and I believe everyone here belongs to us, even our old friends that have come home to visit us, we're so happy to see you. If you desire prayer, the altar is open. God is still in control. No matter your struggle, no matter what you're going through, amen, amen. We've done the Lord's will. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. All right. So now we're going to transition our service. We're going to move into giving and then followed by announcement. Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor 61 to the phone number 73256. And you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor's Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And for Venmo, it's taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One is for your tithes and offering, and one is for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the basket as you exit the sanctuary. If you would like to give an offering to our pastor, you may do so via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, money sign, Pastor Jonathan Ford, and Venmo is at Jonathan-425. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And then we're going to transition into our announcement. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit the subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor's Tabernacle. So that you are informed and up to date on all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in person for corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. On Wednesday nights, prayer and Bible study is at 7 p.m. via Google Meet. Sunday school is from 8:30 to 9 o'clock a.m. via Google Meet. We look forward to seeing your child the 2nd through 5th Sundays. And remember Pastor's Forest YLE Challenge, and I believe that is to bring for the young people to bring children or friends or peers to church. And that is the announcement for this Sunday, so please govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. Amen. Then we're going to call up our sister Barb for the benediction. Courtney just got out of her job.
Sister Courtney, Deaconess Courtney expedited everything. Amen. 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 Stand to your feet if all hearts and minds are clear. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Lord, let your spirit fall upon us like the morning dew as we depart from this place, but not your presence. Go with us and guide us each step of the way. Lord, we know that you are in control, Lord. We surrender our will to you this week, Lord. We look to you for guidance in everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For all our deacons and ministers, we have a meeting.